And we're back on Niaga Awani, where corporate earnings growth is expected to slow in the year ahead in many countries as higher inflation and rising interest rates take an even bigger toll and companies brace for the likelihood of a global economic downturn. Investors have been watching estimates fall in recent months. This economic regime change is expected to be a new norm, and therefore retail investors should expect a new norm for their return as well. And to discuss further on this is on the line Wong Wai Ken, Country Manager Stashway Malaysia. Thank you, Wong, for joining us this morning.
Morning, everyone.
All right, I'm just going to get right to it. Where 2022, this year, is coming to an end in a few weeks already. Can you share with us some of the pivotal events for the year that shaped the investing behavior of Malaysian?
Yeah, absolutely. It was it's a very tough year for investors, both in Malaysia and overall, because both stock markets and bond markets fell largely. The S&P fell 90%, international bond markets 21%. And this is really rare for both stocks and bonds to both be down on the year. The last time this happened was 1917, so over 100 years ago. This is a very rare occurrence. Mainly it's because of the world's coming out of the COVID lockdown, the Ukraine war with Russia, and a lot of cheap money in the system because of quantitative easing made inflation spike, right? So basically, to fix inflation, the Fed had to hike interest rates by 75% four times in a row, and this made markets, you know, fall drastically. Mainly, it's because markets have been enjoying close to zero interest rates since 2020, and because of that, stocks fell quite a lot. Bonds also fell because when interest rates rise, bond prices tend to fall. Also, it didn't help that all major asset classes, you name it, gold, Asian equities, the tech sector, not to mention crypto, has also lost this year. So very, very tough year for investors.
Yeah, Wong, please share with us, why is it important for Malaysians, especially to invest beyond their savings, for instance, EPF or even PRS?
Yeah, very timely, given ASB will also announce their rate later this morning. And I think the reality is that Malaysians don't have enough put aside for their long-term investments. Only 0.5 Malaysians have more than 1 million in their EPF. And that's basically the bare minimum required to retire, according to a senior EPF official. 1 million might sound a lot, but actually over 20 years per month, it's only just above be the same.
Wong? Definitely. Hi, Wong. All right, Wong. It's definitely has been a challenging year for investors in ETFs, markets, and so on. How can individual investors recover in the new year?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough new year as well. Probably not as tough as this year, but we're not at the end of the. We're not out of the woods, as they say. We've basically entered a new economic phase of stagflation, which is basically negative growth and inflation still being very high. And even though stagflation might be a very scary term to use, it's the reality, and investors need to position themselves. And how we think that investors can do that is that they can increase their investments towards shorter tenure bonds, and defensive equity sectors like healthcare and utilities. Gold is also a good environment for stagflation, good asset class.
Yeah.
So we also want to ensure people think long-term as well.
Wong, I guess less than 2 weeks before 2023, what kind of strategies can you investors implement in the next year?
There's no magic trick. I think basically, investing consistently every month, putting aside a certain money or dollar cost averaging through good times and bad times is a really good way to help investors stick to their plan without having to become an active trader or FX trader or anything like that. Don't have to worry about when exactly they enter the market. We have very good data that shows that over a long period of time, you know, 5, 10, even 20 years, if you just average in every month, you'll have good positive returns. And if you need the cash urgently, maybe sell some of your existing positions that's already down that was more speculative, and be very clear about why you're doing that, you know, so you have that additional liquidity for yourself.
All right, with ringgit strengthening against the USD dollar, what does it mean for individuals for investing? Is this a better time to focus within Malaysia or still invest abroad? What kind of assets can Malaysians invest in beyond our shores?
It has strengthened a bit recently, but let's not forget it has come down quite a bit this year. We started the year around 4, now it's around 4.3, 4.4. So it's normal to have some home bias, but Malaysians must realize a lot of their money is already invested locally, especially with EPF, ASB, who have, you know, both 60 and 80% invested locally respectively. So not to mention our property investments and cash is already in ringgit, right? And it's very clear that overseas investments have a better risk return. And the ringgit has also not fared very well against major currencies. You know, over the long term, the ringgit has weakened against US dollar, Singapore dollar, euro, and so forth. So like the previous speaker mentioned, you know, diversifying is a really good way to go about it. And Malaysians should consider investing overseas.
Wong, if I'm not mistaken, China has announced not to announce the numbers of COVID-19. This may spook the markets a bit. Can you comment further on this?
Yeah, I think China relaxing its COVID policy is a mixed bag. We have been through the same thing. We can see how the virus has basically gone through the population, and it can be a huge health crisis. And China has been historically sensitive about a lot of things that it does. It doesn't feel like it needs to communicate as transparently as the rest of the world. We can't trust the COVID numbers because they have also reduced testing. But overall, we think that while that is not the best practice from a health policy point of view, there may be some positives for the economy. The reopening will lead to an improvement in its economy, although it will be bumpy. So we'll see a very uneven recovery from China, which is a very, very large economy.
Yeah, it's a challenging year ahead, I guess. So Wong, can you tell us what's in the store for investors in 2023? Is it all doom and gloom, or is there glimmers of hope? If so, what do we need to prepare ahead of a tough or even a better year?
Well, in short, we're not out of the woods yet. It's not all doom and gloom, but there's the glimmer of hope, perhaps towards the tail end of the year. So it's a bit of both, with maybe some respite at the end of the year. And mainly it's because the economic environment is still challenging. In the US, the Fed has said it will slow the rate hikes, but it will go longer and higher, because inflation is still very high, above its 2% market, 2% target. And you know, wage pressure in the US is still very high, so the inflation might not go down so fast. So it's not clear how long and how high the rates will stay there. And that is the key determinant in markets recovering, you know, the rate cycles pivoting and going back down gradually over time. So inflation is still going to be a factor. China, like we talked about earlier, is still a factor. And let's not forget the Ukraine-Russia war is still not over. So there's some risk. But towards the year end, when rates go down, perhaps there'll be some respite for investors.
All right, I want to thanks to Wong Wai Ken, the country manager of StashAway Malaysia, for sharing this insight on giving us a better look on how investment strategy outlook for 2023. I want to say thank you very much.